look into the Word, to take a minute and see what God's saying. Hallelujah. I want to read a verse out of Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." You know, we read that. Probably everybody is familiar with that verse if you've been in the Lord any length of time. You've heard it before. And for me, usually when we think about asking, we think about asking for things for ourselves. And that's not uncommon. That's not even necessarily wrong. But I think there's more to it than that. And I was considering that here recently, and just thinking about it. And I had been reading in the book of Daniel, and I saw where Daniel and his three friends, commonly known by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they actually did have Hebrew names, and they're mentioned there, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the incident is in Daniel chapter 2. And what had happened was that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had a dream, and as a result of the dream, it says his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. And I won't read all of it, I'll just talk to you about it. After he had the dream and he's woke up and was troubled by it, he couldn't remember the dream. But he was still knew that it was something that troubled him. So he called all his counselors and his wise men and his advisors and told them, said, "Look, I need y'all to tell me what this dream was that I had and tell me what it means." And they said, "Well, King, tell us what the dream was and we'll tell you what it means." And he said, "I don't remember what the dream was, but if you don't tell me the dream and tell me what it means, I'm going to execute you, and I'm going to see to it that your houses are burned down." That's pretty serious business. And they said, "Well, no king's ever done that before. They always told us the dream, and then we gave the interpretation." And he said, "Well, it's different this time." And so it says that in verse 13 of chapter 2, it says, "So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them." Verse 14 says, then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. He said, "King, if you'll give me a little time, I'll tell you what it was." And then verse 17 of chapter 2, it says, Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And verse 18 says, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret. The old King James says that they would desire mercies, or they would ask, is what the word means. They would ask God for help to show them what the situation was, what the dream was, and what the interpretation of the dream was. Now, you say, "Well, yeah, there's Daniel. He's the prophet. And here's these three Hebrew children that we've called them. They're the same ones that later Nebuchadnezzar threw into the fiery furnace." But anyway, they asked God, they prayed and asked God, and it says, verse 19, "Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision." So Daniel blessed the Lord, blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. So God has the answers, but we have to ask.
Amen.
And I think we can learn a lesson from this. I think we can. I think it's something we should consider. You say, well, I don't need to interpret a dream, or I don't have any problems that nobody fixing to kill me if I don't come up with an interpretation. And that's probably true. But when Jesus said back in Matthew, I read it to you to begin with, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, he said, Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. I think that belongs to us. I believe that's a privilege that we have as sons and daughters of Almighty God, the blessing and the privilege that we have to draw near to God for our circumstances, because there's a lot of things we don't know. I've said this before, and many of you may remember hearing it, but three things I know about God: that He's good, He loves me, and He knows more than I do.
Amen.
And that is always true. Those three things are always true. And I've been on this thing about it, asking for a while. We shared here with you some while back that Abram in Genesis chapter 12, God spoke to him and told him, leave your country, leave your kindred, leave your father's house, and go to a land that I will show you. He got up and left. He did, and he obeyed God. He didn't fully obey, because he took Lot with him. And I'm not speaking critically about Abram. I'm just telling you what it says. It's there for you to read in Genesis 12. But it says when he got there to the place where God was bringing him, he says there was a famine in the land. I always like to say he got there just in time for a famine.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of asking God what he should do, God sent him there. He could have asked God what to do. He didn't. He just went south to Egypt because there was a river down there, which meant they had water and they had grass for his flocks. And it wasn't evil. It wasn't necessarily wrong. It just wasn't the thing God was saying do. You can do. It's like my wife says many times: is it a good thing or a God thing?
Amen. And good has too many O's.
That's right. And so, not asking questions creates problems. And if Daniel and those three Hebrew friends of his had not have asked questions, they would have lost their heads. And don't lose your head over not asking a question. he says, ask, and it will be given to you. And you say, well, I've asked God stuff before, and he didn't ever answer me. Well, I think God wants us to ask because God wants our attention. He wants our, even more than that, he wants our affection. When the scripture says in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I believe God wants fellowship with you and me. And just like he didn't tell Abraham there was going to be a famine when he got there, there's things that happen in our lives that God directs us into that he doesn't tell us the whole story in the beginning. I think he wants us to know, but I think he wants us to ask questions. I think he wants us to take the time and fellowship with Him, want to fellowship with Him. And when we spend time with God, He wants to give us answers. I don't think God's hiding anything from us on purpose. I think He has hidden it for us. There's a verse, I don't have the reference right in front of me, where it says something about it's the privilege of a king to search out a matter. Mm-hmm. And that's literally true. You say, well, I'm not a king. Well, yeah, you are. The Bible says Jesus is the King of Kings. We are one of the kings that He's king over. And it's our privilege to search out a matter. But we do that by asking, by drawing near. And just like Daniel and his three brothers got answers by asking the question, so can we. Every one of us have circumstances and situations in our lives that we don't really know the answer. We can sit around and think up an answer, but do we really know what God's saying about it? And so when He says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened, I think He's talking about asking God, talking to your Father. In the book of James, let's go there. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Sometimes we ask for the wrong reasons. I think if we see, Daniel was not asking just for himself. Yes, he was involved in that situation, but he was also asking to spare even the lives of others. Other people's lives were spared because Daniel asked. He wasn't just asking for himself. So you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, or that you may spend it on your own pleasures. We have to come to the place, and I believe we can. God wants us to come to the place where we're concerned about others, not just ourselves. And that we would be asking God for answers, asking God, interceding for the benefit of someone else, not just myself. When we understand and know that we are God's children, we are His sons and daughters, and that He is the source of our supply, then our intercession, our prayer, our asking can be for the benefit of someone else, not just for what I want. I think this is what I know I've experienced this, but it appears to me that what we've been taught about prayer is telling God what the problems are and then telling Him how to fix it. Mm-hmm. Instead of going to the Lord with the situation and asking God what His purpose, plan, desire is in respect to the circumstance. How it will fit in with what He's doing.
Usually we do what we want, we mess it up, then we go to God and ask Him how to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Or tell Him. Tell Him what needs to be done.
Yeah.
You know, instead of asking what needs to be done. We ask for things for ourselves instead of asking for answers for other people, other situations other than ourselves. See, you say, well, Jesus said, pray, give us this day our daily bread. He did. But He also said in that same chapter at the beginning of it, He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So here's the deal. My daily bread is not food for my belly. My daily bread is the word that proceeds from God's mouth. Revelation knowledge is what I live by, not just food for my belly. God provides that. He is the source of my supply, both naturally and spiritually. But for me, my daily bread, what really keeps me alive is the Word of God. And as we recognize and realize that and give ourselves to that, we more fully fulfill, accomplish the purpose that God has in our lives. So let's read a little more here in James chapter 4, and let's think about it. Let me set some parameters in your thinking about the book of James. First of all, James is not written to the world. It's written to the church. It's written to believers. It's written to sons of God. And so he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. We have to learn how to ask in a right way and for a right purpose. You ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. And then in verse 4 he says, adulterers and adulteresses. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Tisdale, I'm not into that. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever put something before God? If I put something before God, I might be into spiritual adultery.
Or what's your thought life like?
Mm-hmm. So, when James says this, he's...
It's a shame he's talking to Christian people and still have to say that.
Yeah, but that's the truth. We're all learning and growing. We are all in the place where that we're God's kids, but we got to get our mind renewed. We got to learn to think the way God wants us to think. And so he says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? I have to guard where my friendship or where my affections are. Have I let my affections become attached to the world, or are my affections for God? Who and what do I really love first? I do live in this world. I recognize that, but I have to grow up and become what God's called me to be, and I do that by drawing near to Him, allowing His Word to be first and foremost in my life. You say, "Well, you're getting to be a religious nut." No, I'm learning how to bring forth spiritual fruit.
Amen.
There's a difference between a religious nut and somebody that brings forth spiritual fruit. God's looking for spiritual fruit. So he says, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? The spirit of God in you is jealous over you. Not jealous of you, but jealous for you. There's a difference. If you're jealous of something, that's wrong. But if the Spirit of God is jealous for you, He loves you and is reaching for you all the time. He loves me and is reaching for me all the time. So the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. Then it says in verse 6, but He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God's grace will be made manifest to you as you humble yourself under His mighty hand. As you submit yourself to Him, He gives grace, or He gives you access to Himself to enable you to do and to be all God has called for in your life. That's what grace is. Grace is God's enabling power that comes to us by Him giving us access to Himself. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 says this, through Him, talking about Jesus, through Him, by one Spirit, we have access to the Father. So what Jesus did at the cross brought the Holy Spirit, made the Holy Spirit available to us. In other words, the Spirit of God was not poured out until after the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. into the heavenlies. The Spirit was poured out, which then gave us access to God Almighty at any and all times. You have access through Him, by one Spirit, we have access to the Father. Now, verse 7 says, therefore submit to God. Submit, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. See, the enemy is always there to deceive me, to draw me away from the purpose and the plan of God. And so as I draw near to God, as I look into the Scripture, as I come to the place of understanding that I can take time and ask God, what is it that you want to do in this situation, Lord? What is it you want me to say? Now, our biggest problem in all of that is that it takes time. That's a commodity that we mostly think we don't have a lot of, is time. Well, I'm too busy. I got this, I got that, I got to do. And it's everybody's got 24/7. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got the same amount of time. It's just a matter of what we learn to do with it, mm-hmm. how we prioritize it.
Do we spend it wisely?
Do we spend it wisely? That's exactly right. I was reading in Jeremiah, I want to say it's chapter 45, 46, somewhere in there. There was a group of people that came to Jeremiah the prophet and told him that they needed him to go to God and ask a question for them to get some instructions and directions. And so Jeremiah said he would go to the Lord and ask for them. And it says there was a 10-day period of time, and then Jeremiah came back with the answer. Our problem is we don't want to wait.
Mm-mm.
And then the next thing is we want somebody else to pray for us like they did. Now, if you read it, you'll find that Jeremiah did get an answer, but even then they didn't like it. Mm-hmm. They didn't like the answer that God gave him for them, and they actually said, we're not going to do that. God really didn't tell you that. Mm-hmm. So, when you ask God, when you take time, spend time with God and listen to what He says, it really pays to go ahead and do what He said. If you're going to take the time and you're going to ask God, then and He may say something you don't like. May very likely will say something you don't understand. He said that in Isaiah chapter 55. He said, your thoughts are not my thoughts and your ways are not my ways. So when I get before God, I'm probably going to get an answer that I wasn't expecting, and it might even be something I don't like. But
if you don't do what He said do, then the next time you ask a question, He may say, well, you didn't do the last thing I said do.
That's right. And so here's the thing. We have access to God. We do have the privilege to ask. And then we take the opportunity to obey. And I want to give you one last thing. Matthew chapter 11, something that Jesus said. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. See, somebody might say, well, Daniel was a prophet. He was a special man. And he could ask God, but that wouldn't work for me. Well, listen to what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. He said, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He that's least in the kingdom of heaven, or he could have said, and he would, in another translation says, kingdom of God. You've been born again. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So Jesus said, "There's among those born among women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." That includes Daniel, Moses, David. There's none risen greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So you have actually, brothers and sisters, you and I have access to God in a way that Daniel didn't. Daniel didn't have the indwelling spirit. Daniel was not born again. We have access to God in a way that he did not have. And so he says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. So I encourage you, ask God questions.
Amen.
Wait for the answers, and then obey. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Father, I thank you today for your goodness and your kindness. I thank you, Lord, for your purpose and plan in our lives. And Father, I ask for my brothers and sisters that you let these words sink deep in their heart. Let your purpose and plan be revealed in them, through them, and for them. And I ask, Lord, that you cause much fruit to come forth in and through their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Amen.